Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. It's that time for the Beacon Bits. This is that portion of the show where Stuart Rosenthal joins me. Stuart is the editor-in-chief of one of the best newspapers in our area for everything 50 and over, from health, travel, to money, etc. And Stuart, thanks for joining me as you always do.
Thank you, Eric.
Of course. Now, this week, we'll talk about health. Let's dig right in. Tell us what's going
great.
On.
Okay, great. So everybody knows, and we're always told, exercise is good for you. It's good for your heart. It's important. We're also told that exercise is a way of dealing with stress and coping with stress. So I don't mean to dissuade people from either of these things. It's very important. It's all quite true. But there was a large international study. It was an observational study, not a comparison of, you know, two different groups kind of study. But it found that if you engage in heavy exertion when you're stressed or angry, it can triple your risk of a heart attack within an hour.
Really? Really?
So what they say is they're checking into it. When they just being angry or upset doubled the risk of heart attack symptoms when you exercised. If you had engaged in heavy physical exertion or really pushed yourself beyond your normal limits, that could double the risk of it. And if you do both, if you go into that exercise routine and really push yourself because you're angry, then you're really in trouble.
Wow.
The idea is to say to people, look, take it easy. You know, if you're especially stressed or especially nervous or you've been exerting yourself otherwise, don't overdo it. Take it a little more easy.
Okay, good advice. What else you got in health?
This is an interesting study. It's a study. It was done in mice. So, again, it's very early. It's just some suggestion of something. But probiotics have been really rising in sales, right? Everybody thinks probiotics are great things to have and to take, and they probably are. There have been definitely some proven benefits. But this is another one, which I hadn't heard of before. When they took female mice and they removed their ovaries, so they sort of induced what would be menopause in women, they found that if they gave them certain types of probiotics, like lactobacillus, the kind of stuff you find often in yogurt, a month after they removed the ovaries, if they did not get the probiotics, they lost half their bone density. If they did get the probiotics, their bone density did not change. And if they did not lose their ovaries and got the probiotics, their bone density increased. So it seems pretty clear that there's some connection between these probiotics and bone density, at least in mice. So it'll be a while before this comes down the pike as a recommendation for people, but I thought it was worth sharing with our readers.
Well, again, you're not a doctor. You're right. Sharing a story that comes out of the newspaper,
that's
and I'm not
right.
a doctor either. I'm a real estate agent, but we talk about everything on the show, including senior issues, senior housing and downsizing and that kind of thing. And our magazine, the newspaper, the Beacon newspaper, which you can read online at thebeaconnewspapers.com, covers lots of interesting topics. And for those of us who are getting older, I think all of us are. Yeah, that's right. Last I checked, we're all getting older.
That's the way it works.
So, you know, bone density is one of those things. I think of osteoporosis. I think of taking vitamin D, drinking milk, things like this. But you're saying that there may be a correlation, at least between lab mice and whether they have probiotics and their bone density. And therefore,
right.
the implication is perhaps if we eat and maybe probiotics, it might be helpful to our bone density,
yes.
right?
Okay. I think that is a suggestion at this point. That's correct.
Very good. Well, the doctor is in the house. Okay, no, just kidding. So we've got Stuart Rosenthal with the Beacon newspaper. Folks, again, you can read it. There's 1,500 locations. Stuart, you deliver this. You must be like Santa Claus.
I wish I could say it was me and my reindeer doing it all, but no, we have several different drivers who do different routes. But right, we're in almost every public library and recreation department and senior building around the metropolitan area. We're in a lot of CVS stores and Rite Aids. We're in churches and synagogues. We're in bookstores and doctor's offices. So if a person can't find a copy of the Beacon, either they aren't looking hard enough or they need to call us and find out where we can direct them that'll be close to where they live and they can find one there.
And that phone number is 301-949-9766.
That's right.
Good. Hey, say thank you in Hebrew for our guests. It is Thanksgiving. Todah rabah. That's right. Okay. Well, shalom, my friend. Have a wonderful day and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Same to you. Take care.
All right, so you get a contract on your house, and you are moving already. You know where you're going to go, and you're not moving for another 90 days, let's say. Maybe you don't want to move until June of next year because the kids are getting out of school, or perhaps your buyer is demanding that, or maybe you just have a new place you're moving into that won't be finished with construction. How can you structure that contract in a way that gets you sold and settled but keeps you in place? Easiest thing to do is go ahead and settle so the buyer can lock in their interest rate. With the rates rising, that's going to be a concern to them. But then put in an optional rent back. Essentially, create a document between you and the buyer that gives them the right, and gives you the right to stay in the property for up to an additional 60 days after settlement, and you just simply pay a rate that you and the buyer agree to. Now, that typically would be the cost of their mortgage, but it doesn't have to be. Especially if you're in a multiple contract scenario, you can sometimes drive into the contract free rent back for a period of time. We've done it many times. Recently, I sold a property in Potomac, and I was representing a seller, and she had a desire to complete the sale in a fairly expedient way, but did not want to forego her ability to get top dollar in the process, right? Want to sell quickly, but don't want to give it away. So as a real estate agent, I have to play my cards carefully because fiduciarily, I don't want to give anything away, but yet I need to encourage the contract to move along. So how did we handle that? So I actually played it when we got an offer from a buyer. It was actually a cash buyer who came in, and they were offering a settlement which was 3 to 4 weeks out. And I played that very coy, like, well, you know, that's fine. We can settle whenever. It doesn't really matter. And I because she wants to settle sooner, but she doesn't have to settle sooner. You follow? And yet it was a desirable aspect. So I don't want to give away how important it was to her and her consideration, and therefore give up negotiating other terms of the contract to her best interest, which include the price and the home inspection and so on. Well, as it turns out, we get a good settlement date worked out. The buyers are very stubborn, very challenging to work with. In fact, they come back and try to negotiate at every step in the process. And albeit there were some things that they found in the home inspection that needed to be addressed, and the seller agreed to give them a credit towards those items. So we moved forward through the survey of the property. Well, guess what? After the survey had been done, the buyers, and by the way, we provide a copy of the survey to the purchasers at the time of ratification. The agent said, hey, you didn't give it to us. And I said, yeah, I did. And then she says no and whatever. Anyway, I've got initials from the buyer. So we had given them what they need. But the buyer wanted more information and demanded that I take care of giving it to him. Well, it's not really my job as a seller's agent to go out and get that for him. It's his own agent's. But hey, he was threatening to cancel the contract over the issue. And I said, no problem. So I went down to the permitting office in the city of Rockville, which serves all of Montgomery County. And this would be the same in any county in America. You can go into the permitting office and meet and get a copy of the subdivision plat and get the detail of it, get it blown up and discuss what are the issues. Now, there are some utility easements on the property, which why are there utility easements? Well, in order to bring the Fios in or to bring in the electricity, the gas or otherwise, easements need to be put on the property to allow the contractors, the Pepcos and the WSSCs, to come in and fix something. Let's say there's a break in a line, right? Okay. There was also a slope easement that was put in place for the duration of the construction period. Now, they didn't understand that it was just during the construction period, but a slope easement requires that nobody disturb the soil in a specific slope of the property during the construction phase. Why? So that there's not a runoff, there's not an erosion problem in the process. Anyway, so I went through that. I found out exactly what I thought, which is that there's nothing wrong with this property and there's no impingement. Yes, there's a fence that runs along the property line and goes a couple of inches outside of the property onto the neighbor's property. And why? Because it connects to where the corners of the property were established by the neighbors. So the other agent presented me with a document with the buyer's asking for $7,000 consideration for that. And I, frankly, I'd had enough, and my buyer had enough, and I simply said, look, you just don't have to buy the property. You either move on or move in. And I thought, that's a really good statement. I'm going to use that from now on, either move on or move in. And sure enough, we played hardball. The buyer waited until the last hour and then said, okay, you win. I'm moving on in. So sometimes you just have to say no in order to get your yes. If you keep saying yes, 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 people will keep asking. It's good to stand firm. My client was happy. We got to settlement just fine, and all's well with the world. Do you have a Van Gogh view? A Van Gogh view is, it's that view like a piece of art that you want to look at every day. You know, recently there was a Van Gogh that had sold for something like $20 million more than what was projected at the art gallery. Why? Because there were several bidders who kept bidding on the piece in order to get that Van Gogh, to be able to look at that Van Gogh and have that Van Gogh view. When I come back, I want to chat with you about how that applies to real estate, how you can have a Van Gogh view and get the highest and best value for your property, and when you don't, how you have to consider that as well. I'll be right back with more of The Eric Stewart Show in just a second.